Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message.
And so I want to ask this question today, and this is the overarching question of the whole morning, and it's this question right here. I want you to get this. How do you view the Lord? Like, how do you view God? I'm not asking you what you believe about God, but I'm asking you, how do you view Jesus? How do you view who he is? Because here's the deal. The way you answer this question will determine how you relate to God. And how you relate to God will really determine how close you get to God. And so today, the most important question I can ask you is, what is your view of the Lord? What is your view of God? Now, some of you guys in here, you might have this view of God that he's an angry God, that he's up in heaven, he has a lightning bolt, and we're just like a bunch of ants that he just wants to stamp out. Some of us, we have that view of the Lord, and so the result of that view is really this coming to church, and we worship, and we sing, but we don't sing with any real heart behind it, right? Or we give to the church, we're generous to the church, but we kind of do it out of obligation. And what's crazy about all of this is honestly, that view really will affect your relationship with the Lord, because how can you get close to someone that you're really, really afraid of, right? And so there's that, but then there's another view that a lot of us have of God, and it's this view of God as kind of a tired grandpa. Like, just a grandpa that we go and talk to once a week, maybe once a month, every now and then, but he really didn't have much to do with our life day to day, right? Like, we're thankful for him. We're thanking him. He created the stars, the moon. He created all of this stuff. But in our day-to-day, Monday through Sunday, there's really not a lot that we do with him. The way you view God is so important. How you look at him is so important. The last couple of weeks, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and really chapter 5 all together. And so let me just say, this is a little bit of Bible, you know, knowledge for you guys. The Bible wasn't written in chapter verse form, okay? It didn't start out that way. It was a letter that Paul wrote, or things that Luke wrote and things like that. They didn't break them down into chapters. But in the year 1207, there was a man named Stephen Langton, and he put the chapters in the Bible. Stephen Langton, by the way, sounds like your IT guy at your business. That's how it reminds me. But he's the guy who put all the chapters together in your Bible. And actually, in the year 1500, or in the 1500s, they added the verses in there. And so chapter 4 of Hebrews and chapter 5 of Hebrews, they work together. They're one big thought together. And so I want to read this with you guys. Are you guys with me today? All right, good. I'm glad to hear you guys. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest. Everybody say high priest. There we are. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one that has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help us in our time of need. I'm going to go a little bit into chapter 5. It's not on these slides, but I'm going to read you so you kind of understand how this works together. Chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken among men is appointed in matters pertaining to God for the people to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. What he's saying right there is that there were high priests in the Old Testament, and they were appointed by God. These were men appointed by God. He is able to deal gently with those, who are ignorant and are going astray, since he is also clothed with weakness. What he's basically saying here is that Jesus is a high priest. That's what the idea of these scriptures are, and it's incredible. And so I want to go back to the question, what is your view of God? How do you view the Lord? So let me ask you this question. Have you ever met like a really fantastic communicator? Someone who is just like they're amazing. Like when they preach, or maybe when they teach, maybe it's a teacher that you know, maybe it's a politician that you know, that when they're talking, like you are enamored, like you are focused. What they're saying is speaking to your heart. Have you guys ever met one of those people, or know one of those people? Okay, so there's great communicators, okay? And then have you guys ever met a person who's just super like selfless? Like, they're the person that you want to be around all the time. They're the person that when you're in their presence, you feel better about yourself. They lift you up. They build you up. They're a really great. They just give and they give and they give. Your life is better because you know them. So we have those type of people as well. The third person, have you ever met a person that's like super strong? Like, and now right now, you're thinking of me. I get that. That's fine. Okay. I am super strong. You're right in that assumption. Okay. If you don't have that person, put me in there. Okay. But we have a super strong person, man. Like when they walk in the room, you can tell that maybe they have influence, or maybe they're just muscled out. They've been hitting the creatine. I mean, they're going crazy. You know those people. So there's three different types of people. Usually, there's not one person that encapsulates all three of those. Usually, a person has maybe one or two, or maybe just one of them. What I want to talk today is about our high priest, Jesus, and what he encapsulates and what he brings together in the life of Jesus. So some of you guys may know or may not know, but I'm actually in school right now. It's at Trinity Seminary, and one of the things that I get to do, one of the privileges of my life, are that I get to learn Greek and Hebrew, okay? Now, yeah. I'd rather you hit me with your car or shoot me, to be honest. It is definitely not a privilege at all. Learning dead languages, whew, that's great. I'm going to talk to you real quick about a Latin phrase, actually. So just so you guys can have a little bit of knowledge here today so you can learn something. There's this phrase. It's called Munix Triplex. Okay, here we go. I want you to say it with me. Everyone say Munix Triplex. You guys learned Latin today. Look at you. Munix Triplex sounds like something your doctor would prescribe to you if you had like a sinus problem. But really, what the truth of it is, Munix Triplex is this idea of the threefold office. Okay? And here's what I'm trying to get to. In the book of Hebrews and really through the whole gospel, Jesus fulfilled three major offices. Okay? Three major offices. Here they are. He was a great high priest, he was a great king, and he was a great prophet. So if you look at the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, they had tons of prophets, tons and tons of prophets. They had tons and tons of kings, and they had tons and tons of priests. But not one of them was all three of those together, right? There was only one person that was all three of those in one way. And so what I want to talk to you guys about today is Jesus' three offices that he fulfilled and how that affects our view of God. Are you guys with me today? Yes. All right, let's start this out. So if you have your notes, you're going to put this out here. The first one is Jesus was a prophet. So prophets were the spokespeople for God. Think about Abraham. Think about Isaiah. Think about Jeremiah. The things that they would go out there and they would speak to the people of God. Prophets would speak warnings to the people of God. He would tell them to repent of their sins and announce their forgiveness and the pardoning of their sins. This is what the prophets did in the Old Testament. Here's how Jesus fulfilled that office. The Bible says that Jesus came to proclaim the word of God, okay? But also John 1 says that he is the word of God, okay? And so if you keep going there, it says that Jesus came in Matthew 1:21 to tell the world of sin. And then it says in Mark 1:15, he came to tell the world to repent of that sin. And then if you read Colossians 1, it says that he preached the forgiveness of sin. He perfectly fulfilled the office of a prophet. This is Jesus. This is one of the offices that he took and one of the offices that he fulfilled. The second one, the king. So there's tons and kings of Israel and in Judah, but there was no other king as beloved as King David. Everyone loved David, man. He is the penultimate king of all of Israel. But the Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of David, that he was more than David. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is higher than any other king. The book of Revelation says that he's a coming king. The book of Revelation says that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The book of Revelation, and actually there's another part of the Bible that says that at the very name of Jesus, every single knee will bow and every single tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Here's what I want you to get real quick, by the way. This is completely off the side. That doesn't say that every knee will bow at the name of a Muhammad, right? It doesn't say that every knee will bow at the name of Buddha. It doesn't say that every knee will bow at the name of a famous star or at a politician. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. That right there is the king. And here's how he's the king for us. He came and he fought our battles. He came and he fought our battle against sin. And here's the deal. He won that battle. And because of his victory, because of his winning of that battle, he is saying that he is the Lord and the king of our life and that sin can no longer reign over our life. This is our king. The perfect fulfillment of the king is in Jesus. So you have this prophet and you have this king. And here's really the third one, the third office there. Is Jesus is our perfect high priest. Now, priest is a weird word, right? It's a different thing. But honestly, this is probably my favorite one of all of the roles of Jesus. Priests are kind of foreign to us. We don't deal with priests anymore. Really, the Jewish religion, the Jewish people, they haven't had a high priest since around AD 70. So they haven't done this. The high priest was someone that was elected, appointed by God, but really in the latter years was appointed as a political figure. And so the high priest kind of got into a weird place. And so we needed Jesus to be our high priest. So let's talk about what the role of a high priest was. The role of the high priest was that he was going to act on behalf of the people of God. And so what he had to do was, and this is Old Testament, this is going to be weird, but this is how it worked in the Old Testament. They would set up this tabernacle or this temple, if it would be. And the high priest would have to purify himself. He'd have to cleanse himself. He'd have to go and kill these animals and all this stuff to get himself pure. And then the Bible said that he'd have to put on this big vest. And here's what's interesting. On that vest is inscribed the names of the children of Israel. This is how he represented the people. And then he would go into the temple, and there was this big veil, big curtain. And if you passed by that curtain, and you weren't one of the high priests, and you weren't purified, you would die. Actually, the Bible says that they would wrap a rope around them, and if they went in and they weren't clean, they were dead, and they'd pull them out like that with a rope. It's incredible. It's this crazy idea. So none of us in this room, we couldn't go into the presence of the Lord. It was only the high priest. And the Bible says that as the high priest, he would walk through the veil, and he would go up to this thing, the Ark of the Covenant. Just Raiders of the Lost Ark that if you need to, okay? You can find it all in there. And he would bring two goats in with him. This is where it gets kind of nasty. But he'd bring the two goats in, and he would kill one of the goats. And he would sprinkle the blood on what they called the mercy seat. And that was for the forgiveness of sins of the people. And then he'd take one goat, and he'd let it go. It's where we get the term scapegoat. Because that goat carried the freedom for us. It's this amazing concept of what a high priest would do. It's a scary concept. Think about this. I mean, if you weren't clean, you walked into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, you would be dead. And none of us could get there. None of us could make that step into there. We needed a high priest that would take care of it for us. All of this is just a foreshadowing of who Jesus would be. All this is a foreshadowing of what he would do for us. And so the good news for you and me today is Jesus is our high priest. I don't need Pastor Brent to get me into the presence of God. I don't need this worship team to get me into the presence of God. You don't need me to get you into the presence of God. Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the priest that brings us into the presence of God. Amen? And so, if he's our high priest, then let's talk about what that does for you and for me. So if you have your notes, man, we're going to knock this out real quick. If you have your notes, 3 points, and we're going to be done. Here we go. Number one, the first thing, if Jesus is our high priest, that means that he purifies us. That he purifies us. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Big theological term, propitiation. Here it is. Here's what it's saying. That Jesus on the cross took our sins, your sins, everything that you would commit, everything that you have committed, and it put it on him. And in exchange for that, Martin Luther calls this the great exchange, we got his righteousness. Does that make sense? And so here's how we made out the deal here. We got the righteousness of Jesus while he got the sin on the cross for each and every one of us. And so he purifies us. Maybe this question of how do you view God, maybe what's hindering your view of God is this idea of how you think God views you. Hey, I want you to get your eyes here for 1 second. I want you to just hang out for a second. Here we go. God's not mad at you anymore, okay? God's not angry at you anymore. If you know Jesus, if he's the Lord of your life, God's not done with you yet. He hasn't given up on you. He's not giving up on you. He doesn't want do-overs. Some of you in this room, you need to get the freedom today to realize that God still has a plan for you, that God still wants to work in your life, and God still is going to fulfill the promises to you. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That song we just sang, all of God's promises are yes and amen. Look right here. I want you to get this. You aren't pure because of what you've done. You're pure because of what Jesus did. I love the little memes out on Facebook and on social media that says, you are enough. Hey, you're not. You're just not. You're not enough. And that's the best news in the world. Because if you're enough, then it's going to be wrecked. If I'm enough, it's wrecked. But if he's enough, and he is enough, if he's enough, then everything changes, everything moves, and he brings us into a new level of anointing. I'm sorry, I'm excited right now. I don't know where you at, but I'm pretty pumped up about the fact that I have a high priest that purifies us. Point number two, here we go. If we have a high priest, he purchases our freedom. He purchases our freedom. Let me read you this out of Galatians chapter 3. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse. That redeemed word is actually purchased. Christ purchased us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The cross gives us the free gift of grace. Some of you today need to just understand that. We've been talking about this last couple weeks, this rest in the gospel that Pastor Brent's been hitting on so well that we need to understand that we have grace because we have a high priest that's given it to us. A gift, by the way, it ceases to be a gift whenever you have to earn it, right? I mean, it's not a gift anymore at that point. Like, Pastor Brent doesn't come up to me when we get paid and say, ooh, I got a little gift for you, when he gives me my paycheck, right? Okay, because I earned it. Some of us have, Pastor Joe, but... joking. Grace. He's given us grace. He's purchased it for us. It wasn't something easy. Whew. Romans chapter 8 says, if I have not even spared my own son, would I not give you more than that? It's this amazing concept. It's the grace that some of you guys need today. You have a high priest that looks at you and says, no, I have grace for you. I have grace for your tomorrow. I have grace for your year from now. Hey, you're in between jobs. You're messing up. Things are falling apart around you. I have grace for that. I'm going to make a way for that. I'm still not done with that yet. Some of you guys are in the middle of relationships falling apart. And he's saying, no, I have grace for that too. I'm going to take care of you in that as well. The Bible says that every morning his mercies are new. Some of us, we need to go to bed because they've ran out on us. But we need to wake up the next morning and realize that his mercies for us are new every single day. And here's the last one. And this is my favorite. Point number three is he petitions. That he petitions for us. This is the one I'm most excited about because it's the one that has the most ramifications on all of us today. Let me read the scriptures again. Are we all still here together? Are we all still good? Okay. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way. That word tempted is this word that says infirmities. So it's kind of a twofold word there. He felt every pain that we've went through. It's amazing. It's incredible. He's been tempted, but he's felt the pain that you've walked through. In every way as we are yet without sin. Verse 16, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. What's that word? So we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. How do you view God? How do you view God? Jackson, Ryan, will you come up here for a second, bud? How do you actually view the Lord? Is he an angry God that's up in heaven waiting to stomp you out? Is he a distant, sleepy grandpa that you might deal with every now and then? Is he an untrustworthy father? Maybe you've had that in your life. Has he forgotten about you? in the middle of pain and hardship? Has he forgotten about you? Or is he, as the word says, a sympathetic high priest? Come on over here, boys. I had to get me some tall boys. I let them know I'm a gangster still, though, and I can take them out if I needed to, so. I've always been really intrigued by Jesus' life. Like, if you really think about who he was, if he wanted to, he could have came to the earth. He could have lived to one and died, and it would all still worked out. He could have lived to the age of 5, died, and it would all still worked out. But he didn't do that, did he? We definitely know he's 12 at one point. Definitely know he grew up more than that. Most scholars, theologians think that he lived to about 33 years old. Why would he live for 33 years? What's the point of that? He could have died right when he got there. He could have fulfilled the mission. Everything still would have worked out, but he lived for 33 years. Why did he go through that? I want to read you this scripture because here's why I think he did it. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. Everyone say sympathize. With our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus lived 33 years on this earth so he could look at you and look at me and say, hey, I get it. I get it. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus went to commune with the Lord. For 40 days he fasted, for 40 days he prayed. He gets there and he goes to pray. And guess what? God doesn't show up, the devil showed up. Maybe Jesus can sympathize with your feeling of lack of connection with God. Mark chapter 3, Jesus' family says, this guy Jesus, he's out of his mind. We got to get him locked up. Maybe Jesus can sympathize with your crazy family. Matthew chapter 8, the teachers of the law, rich people run up to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, whatever you need, I'll take care of. And Jesus said, hey, I don't have a place to sleep. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head down. Maybe Jesus understands what it feels like to be broke, to be homeless, to not have enough, to have to depend on, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I need Jesus, I need God in my life. Mark chapter 6, Jesus was so overwhelmed with working and people and with everyone around him. The Bible said he just had to sit down for a little bit. Maybe Jesus can sympathize with you being overworked, being overscheduled, being so busy, not ever taking a break. Maybe Jesus can sympathize with your exhaustion. John chapter 11, probably my favorite story in the Bible. Jesus' friend Lazarus is dying. Jesus goes to see him and he shows up and the guy's passed away. Now, I want you to put this in your mind. Jesus, Brent talked about it last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus was in the middle of the fire. These are hundreds of years before this story. Jesus is eternal. He's always been there. Jesus knew what was going to happen yesterday and tomorrow, okay? Jesus shows up, sees Lazarus. He's passed away, and what does Jesus do? He sits down, and you know what the word says? He cries. Jesus entering into humanity, he even knew he was going to raise Lazarus. But he sat there and he cried and he wept. Maybe Jesus understands your tears. You know, the Bible says that your tears are so precious to God that he collects them in a bottle. Maybe Jesus gets loss, hurt. Maybe he understands what it feels like to just feel alone. For 33 years, he lived on this earth so he could look at you and me and say, okay, no, I get it. I see you. That thing that you feel like you're all alone in, I was there. That thing that you feel like you can't ever get past, that addiction that you'll never get over. No, see, he never sinned in any of this, but he understood the temptation of it. And it's not like a high priest that can just look down and say, why don't you get over that? Why don't you figure yourself out? You're coming back and you're asking for forgiveness for this. This is the third week you've done it. No, he looks and he says, hey, I get it. I've been there. No loss. I know crazy situations. I know exhaustion. And this is why this is so important to me, that we have a high priest that understands and sympathizes with us. Because if you go on into the scripture, he says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. We can approach the throne of grace because we know that he understands where we've been and he's given us the grace to get through it. Boys, do me a favor. Can you lift that up for a second? Tall boys right here. But here's what I think happens. Here's what I think happens. The Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was split in two. That you don't need a high priest anymore to get into the presence of God. The Holy of Holies, no, God actually resides inside of you now, right? But what I know is there's two groups of people in this room today. One group, and so this is for all of us, by the way. There's gonna come a time, maybe you've been there, maybe you're getting there, where you hit rock bottom. I don't know what that story is for you. Maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's a relationship breaking up, maybe you're bankrupt. You hit rock bottom. Like I said, there's two groups of people in here. The first group of people say, man, God, I screwed up, I messed up, and I don't want to have anything to do with you because I think you're angry at me. I think you're mad at me. And so we lift these things up. We make veils up like this. And so if the presence of God, if the throne of God is on the other side of that, I put a veil up because I can't get near him. Some of you in this room today, we're talking about what's your view of God. Some of you, this is your view of God. You've put up a veil between you and the presence of the Lord. And so you're sitting there thinking, man, I want to know him, but I have so many problems. I have so many addictions. I have so many things that are wrong. I have so many doubts. I have so many issues in my life. There's no way I can get into the presence of the Lord. There's a group of you that are sitting in this room that feel that way. And then there's a second group of you in this room, and it's the group that says, man, I need to get to the presence of God. And I got to remind myself that I have a high priest that purifies me. I have a high priest that purchases for me the freedom and the grace in my life. And I have a high priest that petitions for me. Hebrews chapter 7 says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And he looks up at the Father and says, hey, he's interceding for us. He's praying for you and me right now. He's saying, that thing that they're going through, that struggle that they're going through, I remember it was really, really hard. Let's give them a little extra grace on that one. Hey, that thing, that addiction they're going through, I know that they've asked for forgiveness for the last month, but hey, I think we can make it here. That's what he's doing up in heaven. And so that second group of people are looking at that and looking at this veil and saying, no, I know I've screwed up. I know I've messed up. I know I have problems. I know I have addictions. I know I have doubts. I know that there's issues, but I have a high priest who purchases and purifies and petitions for me. And so because of that, I'm going to tear that thing down and I'm going to walk into the throne room of God with boldness because I have a high priest who gives me the ability to go into his presence. I don't need a worship team. I don't need a pastor. I need Jesus today. And I think today, some of you guys, one more time, I know it's been exciting, but I think we need to celebrate the fact that we have a God, a high priest who purifies and purchases for us the freedom and the ability to know and accept the Lord. Thank you, boys. What's your view of God today? Is he angry or is he sympathetic? Is he angry or does he look at you and say, I know. But I have enough grace to get you through where you're at right now. I think God wants to break some bondages in people's lives today. And it really just starts with you re-evaluating your view of who God is. Look right here, I want you to get this. Those things that you're dealing with right now, you don't always have to deal with them. Counselors will help, all that. But what you need is Jesus more than anything. Some of you in this room, you've resigned yourself that I'm always going to be this way. I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible says. In Jesus, we're a new creation. The old is past. The new has come. If you do it yourself, yeah, you'll probably always be that way. But if you give it to Jesus, our sympathetic high priest, he has the power to take it and turn it into a testimony.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.